All right, here we go, people.
Y'all ready for the big show?
Yeah!
Pirate Nerd Radio.
Nerds! 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 Nerds!
Look, we are professional
broadcasters of the future.
What a nerd.
Nerd alert!
Nerd!
There must be so much nerd sex happening tonight.
Uh-oh, nerd alert, man.
We're commandeering a radio station in the name of nerd freedom.
All right, enough chit-chat, everyone.
It's showtime.
This week in Nerd News. Dan Riskin and head nerd, Jim Richards.
That is true. Dan Riskin is here for Nerd News. Always exciting. Dan, thank you very much for your time.
Oh, Jim, it is a pleasure. I got to tell you, normally I only get to talk to you once a week, but I feel like we connected multiple times this week thanks to your antics.
Yeah, so I did. Last time you were on the show, I tried to get you to admit something on the air that you had told me off the air that you... Pardon me?
Go on. I never said off the air any such thing. Do not make me into trouble.
Okay.
Go ahead. Say what you're saying.
So, did you not say best?
Best. You are the best, Jim. But you...
Hold on. Did you not say segment?
The segment is the best. Yes, it is. The best.
Okay, we'll edit that.
All right.
And so last week I was trying to say that Dan, when he is on this show, it's his favorite segment and he doesn't like the name of any of the other ones. So proud of being a part of Nerd News. Every time I hear Dan on another show and all the other stupid names they have for their segments, this one definitely named the best. I don't know if our content is the best. I know that Dan is always going to be bang for the buck, top notch. But I don't know, what is it, like Technology Tuesday on some of the other shows? It's just stupid names.
I was having a lovely conversation with Vashi Capellos. And all of a sudden, she's like, wait, I'm getting this text coming in. Somebody's asking why you don't like the name of our segment. And I was like, oh, no.
Let me play that. That was the audio. Hold on. Can we play the rest of... Okay, so this is the rest, the ending of our segment last week when I was trying to get you to say that this is your favorite segment and you thought all of the other ones had dumb names.
The chance that I'm going to give you a soundbite of me poo-pooing the name of one of the other segments is pretty low.
That was from last week. Then I text messaged Vashi when she was on the air on the 71010 line, and I said, why does Dan hate the name of your segment? And this is Vashi and Dan.
First, before we have a... Why did Dan... I got a text message on the board here. Why did Dan Riskin say last night that he did not like the name of the science segment with Vashi? You don't like the name, Huxley? Why am I learning this through our listeners, Dan?
That listener just won the internet. So Jim Richards was bragging about how good the name of our segment is and saying it was better than all the other segments. And he was goading me into saying the kind of thing that I did not say that your listener is joking that I had said. But I did not ever say it. And Jim Richards wins the game and the listener is in on it. The listener may well be Jim Richards, but that's
funny. Jim just texting it. I'm glad we put that aside.
I tried to get Jerry on the Toronto station to say the same thing yesterday. But that did not work.
What's amazing about Vashi, that shows you how good her reporting chops are. Like, she figured out it was you before we even finished the sentence. She's like, it probably was Jim Richards. Like,
oh, man.
She has instincts as a reporter that blow my mind.
I got to tell you, I listen to her, and I just hate her so much because she's so good. No, she really is so good.
She is really good.
She's really great. I mean, she's just fantastic.
She can juggle balls in her head. Like, she's thinking of one thing and thinking another thing. And different people you talk to about different things, but she often comes up with these questions that are, I'm like, huh, I never thought about that. And I end up like, I've read the press release, I've looked at the scientific paper, I've thought about it, I've thought about how to put it into words, and then she throws it back at me and is like, have you ever considered this? And I'm like, oh, well, I never thought about that. And yeah, she's a different thinker. It's pretty amazing.
And it's a shame that you hate her segment, because it sounds like it should be good, but you hate it. You know what's interesting, though? Yeah, you know, to the point, though, like enough of me kissing up to Vashi, but to the point where, like, I thought yesterday that the conservative critic for finance, like, he was not ready for an interview, to be interviewed by her, because she just killed him. Like, she would ask a question, and he would be, like, so deer in the headlights, stuck to his talking points, that it was embarrassing. And it's almost like Pierre is so good at it, and I don't care what people might think of his politics, but he's just so good at interacting with people. He knows how to, you know, pivot and stick to his talking points without sounding like he's doing it. But this guy was just lost. Anyway, Dan, I'm sorry that we talked for so long and I ruined Bat Day. It is International Bat Day. How many times have you peed your pants?
Oh, well, lots of times. But every day is Bat Day in my house.
That's
because
the thing.
I celebrate bats.
Why are we even celebrating Bat Day? Every day is Bat Day in your life.
Exactly. I got to say, there is a day for everything. And a lot of people are like, okay, really, we need a bat day? Like, we have Halloween, but okay, sure, we'll take it. I mean, I of all people should be celebrating this, but I don't know what happens differently on bat day from every day. I mean, we all love bats all the time. I think that's what happens. But it's a day where everybody can sort of, you know, take a minute to look up a good picture of a bat, maybe send a bat to somebody through social media. I don't know what you do differently on bat day, but I'm happy to be part of Bat Day, I guess, and it's nice that we're celebrating it in this strange way. I just don't know what you do differently. I really do. It's no. Like I live at Christmas Village, and it's Christmas, and I don't know what to do differently.
What would the world be without bats?
It would be awful. Oh, so bats make up about a quarter of all mammals. So if you make a list of all the different mammals that live, like lion, elephant, all those different animals, a quarter of your list would be just different kinds of bats, like a big-eared bat, a short-tailed bat, a long-tailed bat, a mouse-eared bat, like all these different kinds. And some of them are spectacular. I mean, some of them are like the smallest bat in the world literally weighs less than a penny. It weighs 2 grams. A penny weighs 2.5
really?
Grams. Yeah, it's unbelievable that a mammal can be that small. I mean, can you imagine how small its heart is? Like, that is a small animal. They live in Thailand. I've never seen one. And then the biggest bat in the world has almost a 6-foot wingspan. And it's, you know, at the other end of the spectrum. And they're totally different animals. But there's just all this diversity. And it just, the thing they do for the world, I mean, they eat insects and they spread fruit seeds and they pollinate flowers. There's a lot of things they do that you can actually, like, measure and say we need them for these functions. But fundamentally, the world is beautiful because bats are in it. Like, it would be, if the bats disappeared, the world would suddenly be a ghost of its former self. It'd be like if the ocean had no whales in it, right? It'd be just,
really?
You just miss them the whole time. And bats are even better than whales. They really are.
Did people know that there is a 5-foot bat with a 6-foot wingspan? Imagine that. Is that right? Do I have that right? What is the biggest bat?
The wingspan is 5 to 6 feet. The bat weighs about as much as a squirrel. It's not that big. It's like it's a three pound bat, so it's not that tall. There are a couple of pictures bouncing around on
Wait
the internet
a second.
Where people have,
it weighs as much as a squirrel and its wingspan could be 6 feet?
Yeah, it's all wow. Just skin in between the fingers. I mean, they're not that big. They're called flying foxes. I mean, they're big for a bat compared to what we have in North America because they live in Southeast Asia and places like that. But they're not like great big things that have any weight to them. And so there are pictures on the internet floating around of these things where the bat is in the foreground and they take a picture of it and there's something big in the background, but they're both in focus. And so it makes it look like the bat is bigger than the thing that's behind it. So like there's this one picture of a flying fox with a motorcycle in the background, but the way the picture's taken, it looks like the bat is at the motorcycle and it looks like it's as big as the motorcycle. And you're like, holy smoke, what kind of bat is that? And people are like, it's a real picture. And it is a real picture, but it's a trick of the lens. It's like, you know, it's the crush your head effect where you could make your fingers look like they're big enough to crush somebody's head if you hold them up to the camera.
Sure.
It's just holding the bat up to the camera with the motorcycle getting its head crushed.
I feel like my life is being ruined by the fact that I don't love anything as much as you love bats.
Well, I don't know, man. I love a lot of things, but I gotta say bats just have this special...
Okay.
There's a couple things about bats.
Let's do a couple of brackets here. Your kids versus brats, or bats, which... Dude,
well,
sorry,
my kids,
I didn't mean to say brats.
Which I do one love do my kids more than I love bats. That is true, but
your
it's a different kind of
wife versus
love.
Bats.
I love my wife more than I love bats. That is true.
Your kids versus your wife.
That's a tough one.
You
I know
don't have
the
to
evolutionary
answer, that
answer.
I'm kidding.
Well, the evolutionary answer is a simple one, but you're going to get me too much trouble.
Do you think you're better than the person we're going to interview in 20 minutes' time? He is a Bigfoot researcher.
No, definitely not. I don't think I'm better than anybody. I think everybody has something to bring, and I hope you learn a ton from it. I'm curious to know what they have to say. That'll be interesting for sure.
I should have asked you about the segment we did just before the news, which was apparently they're getting rid of reclining seats in airplanes, and I'm guessing you're for that.
That's a great idea because it would just eliminate all this fighting. I mean, what do you really get when you recline your seat by 1/4 of a degree? Like, nothing.
Right.
It doesn't make it any more comfortable, but everybody fights.
I see on the list of things that Dan wants to talk about, the planet of Uranus is one of them, and that's coming up next on the iHeartTalk Radio Network.
Welcome back to News Talk Tonight with Jim Richards on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Ask a big researcher. Ask a big researcher anything. Yeah, that's what we got coming up. Ask a Bigfoot researcher anything. That in about 15 minutes time here on the iHeartTalk Radio Network. Anything. And this gentleman is legit, folks. It's the Sasquatch Society at Trent University. Does it sound any more legit? Have you run into a lot of legit or illegitimate Bigfoot researchers, Dan, in your life?
I have come across several papers trying to figure out the sort of Bigfoot story. There was one that came out just a little while ago. It was done by a guy in the UK who was trying to argue that it was just always black bears that people were seeing. And so he looked at the preponderance of black bears and the preponderance of Bigfoot sightings and showed that they were... black bears do walk on their hind legs sometimes. There are a couple of videos if you look online and you can find... And like, if a black bear is facing away from you and it's walking on its hind legs, like, it kind of looks like a person. Like, it looks like a big hairy dude. But that might not explain all of them. I think the odds that there really is a Bigfoot are pretty low, but... I'm happy there are people still looking. I love the idea. It'd be pretty cool if there was something out there. I mean, the realistic truth is new species of mammals are discovered every year. Like, we find new kinds of bats, we find sometimes new primates, sometimes it's a species where, okay, we knew there was, like, all of a sudden a new species of giraffe is found because what we thought was one species is actually two. That's pretty interesting. But every once in a while, like, there's something, you discover a mammal that nobody had ever seen before, and it really does have, usually they're small, it's not usually the size of a Bigfoot, but, and it wouldn't be in North America where we've basically seen every piece of the forest, but... Nonetheless, things are discovered every year, and it's not an impossibility. So I'm perfectly happy for people to be continuing the search, for sure.
All right, let's head to the Netherlands, if we can, where we find that they've done some research that finds that there's a specific gene that makes people left-handed.
Yeah, I think this is super weird. I was really surprised to see this. And I don't know. I mean, are you left-handed? Are you jealous of left-handed
people? Our producer Lily is left-handed.
Oh, really? And so what is Lily's reflection on this one? Do you know? Have you talked to her about it?
Oh, she's going to say right now.
Yeah, I think that it's really interesting. I mean, I'm left-handed myself. My siblings aren't. But my cousin is, my uncle is, and my great aunt is as well.
So it's genetic. It runs in your family.
It must, yeah.
That's odd. But why, I guess, like, it seems like, I don't know, I guess you don't learn it. It's because it's, you know, they used to try to beat it out of people.
Yeah, well, exactly. So, I mean, now people who are left-handed don't sort of unlearn it as they go. It turns out that it's more of a spectrum from sort of right-handed to left-handed than some people are sort of in the middle, but definitely more people are right-handed. In this, there have been studies in the past where they found 48 different genes that seem to be somehow correlated to this. But this latest study has sort of drilled down on one particular gene, and they're saying that it explains what's going on. But it's not a perfect one-to-one thing. It's like, if you have this one gene, then you're like three times more likely to be left-handed than if you have the other version of the gene. So it's still not quite, like, the headline says they found the gene that explains if you're left-handed, but it's clearly not just one gene. This is just something that's correlated with it, and it really doesn't bring us closer to understanding why it happens. But I think I've always been jealous of left-handed people. I've always felt like they were cooler than me. I've always wished I was left-handed, but I'm not.
Okay, the first non-American on the moon will be Japanese.
Yeah, this kind of, I mean, I'm a little sad that it won't be Canadian, but I guess we got to go, we got the ticket for the first non-American to go around the moon. So we got that going for us, and that, we, you know, let's not, that's not nothing. That's pretty exciting, but it would be kind of fun to have a Canadian walk around on the moon. But I guess we're all Earthlings, and so we can celebrate all the Earthlings. But the U.S. has announced that Japan will get to have a person go along for the Artemis 3 mission, which is the one where they walk around the moon. The real story of all that Artemis stuff right now is that there's no rocket to take anybody to the moon yet. Like, they were talking about doing it this year, and like, we have not yet got a rocket that could take people to the moon. It, like, it hasn't been built by SpaceX yet. That is the rocket that they keep having these test flights for, and they may well get there very soon, but the whole, like, we're going to walk around on the moon is predicated on technologies that do not exist. So right now, they're still trying to make sure they get all their T's crossed and their I's dotted for the Artemis 2 mission that a Canadian will be part of, to go ride in the spacecraft, go around the moon, and come back. I'm very excited for that. This now is the announcement for what's going to happen on the next mission after that, okay, where people get out and walk around the moon, and they're saying it'll be Japan gets to pick a person.
I don't know why I thought of you when I saw this video. It just kind of made me sad, because I think any, like, elephants, any animals and circuses, thankfully, are going the way of the dodo bird and zoos. I don't know, but there is this video of this elephant that's gone viral that I guess it had escaped and is wandering in the Loose and Butte, Montana. Montana.
Elephant walking down the road. Oh my god. Only in Butte. A circus elephant got loose.
Like a circus elephant. I mean, not like, it's just garbage the way we treat those animals, and they're so majestic and beautiful. And I don't know why I pitched it to you, Dan. I just found it really sad.
Yeah, I did. I found it really sad too. You sort of see this animal that's like clearly stressed. It's walking down the road. It's, I mean, it's Butte, Montana. So you can maybe imagine what it looks like, but it's just a big, huge road going both ways with a divider in the middle, and then a bunch of stores on either side of the road, not a tree in sight. And this elephant is just like just running through traffic, going across the road. Everybody's stopped, and then it's going through a parking lot, and there's this, some guy running next to it who presumably is responsible for its care or trying to keep track of where it goes or whatever. Elephants are big, and they can be quite dangerous, and it can be pretty bad when elephants get loose. They can really do some damage, and sometimes there are these cases of elephants just kind of snapping and just really getting, like, a nice elephant's been nice and played nice in the zoo or in the circus for a long time, and then one day it just like gets furious and then just goes and starts doing violent things. That doesn't look like what's happening in this picture. I haven't read anything in the news about what the context is for this, but it definitely does give you pause. I mean, yeah, we've sort of moved away from elephants in zoos the way we've moved away from whales in aquariums, and it makes sense. They're long-lived creatures that have long social lives and complex social lives, and a zoo just doesn't really work. A zoo is fine for a lot of animals, and there are good zoos, I will say. There are definitely bad zoos, and there are some good zoos, but elephants in zoos, I think, is just, and elephants in a traveling circus, that's just not all that fun.
Let's play a clip that you, something you said earlier on the show.
Oh, here we go. This segment is the best. Yes, it is.
There you go.
There it is. I guess I said it.
Yeah, you said it. We may have edited that together. I can't remember. Gas is trapped in, ladies and gentlemen, do not crack a smile. Gases trapped in Uranus might be different than we thought. Same goes for Neptune. How do we study this? Like, how do we know?
When you said Uranus, I didn't realize. Okay, because when you said Neptune, I realized what you were talking about. I was very confused there. Basically, there's a new model for how those ice giants may have formed. These two planets that are really far away, that are really big, and they're thought to be mostly made of ice, as in water ice, and this latest study suggests that maybe they have more frozen methane in them than previously thought. And of course, methane is the stinky gas that also comes out of people. So that's why everybody loves saying there's, like, every time there's any study on Uranus, somebody has to say, oh, there's methane in the gas giant of Uranus. Like, it's just, it writes itself. People can't resist it, and I'm guilty of it myself. But what makes that interesting is that, like, all of our information about those gas giants really comes from the Voyager 2 mission in the 70s, and we haven't sent anything there since. And so there's a renewed interest, and NASA says Uranus is worth a second look. So they're going to they're going to be paying closer attention to Uranus, as we would like NASA to do.
We need. Can you say the word is better?
I'm worried you might take the words is better
than Vashi.
No, I can't say that. I can't say that.
Can you but say
I guess
nerd
I should be
news.
Thankful that you're just.
Can
you're
you
not,
say nerd news?
Nerd news.
Then
nerd
Vashi?
News is great.
Then Vashi?
Great. Vashi. Then.
There you go. We'll figure that out.
Yeah.
We have in a moment. Do you have a question for the Bigfoot researcher?
Yeah, you ever seen one?
Good question. I think I'll lead with
it's
that.
Easy start.
Science. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. Dan Riskin, Nerd News. Thank you, Dan. Ask a Bigfoot researcher anything next on the iHeartTalk Radio Network.